One of my favorite worship songs is He is Lord. You know it very well. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess. That comes from Isaiah 45, verse 23. God is speaking there, and He said, "Before me, every knee will bow. By me, every tongue will swear." We may be surrounded by godless men and women today in our life, but every single one of them is going to see Jesus Christ on that great day when He comes back, and they are going to bow their knees and they're going to say out loud, "Jesus is Lord." Hallelujah. So take that, you heathen. You better get ready because it's coming. And of course, we're going to be there too, aren't we? Yeah, we're going to witness all of that. We're kind of waiting in the wings, if you will, for the show to begin. And all of us, I hope, are more than ready for Jesus Christ to return. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Come quickly. The Apostle Paul liked that scripture in Isaiah too. He liked it so much that he quoted it in Romans 14, verse 12. But Paul added something very sobering to that passage. Let me read it to you. "It is written, 'As surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me, every tongue will confess to God.' So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God." Each of us will give an account of himself to God. I think we all know that. No surprise. We know it's coming. Well, we know tax time is coming too. But I wonder how many people scurry around to get their documents together and their receipts together and get everything organized for it. Am I stepping on any toes here? I hope I'm not. That's why a lot of people like me hire other people to do their taxes for them, because I'd rather they pull their hair out than me pull my hair out. But whether you do it yourself or you have somebody do it for you, the truth is that you have to do a little planning. You have to do some thought, give some thought to it, some organizing, and you have to take an inventory of your financial life. And speaking of inventory, as we approach the first month of a new year, a lot of business people are going to be doing inventory very soon. I'll bet some of you have worked in situations in the past where you had to do inventories in January. It's a necessary part of doing business. Well, in a much more profound way, God has made it clear that we have to do a spiritual inventory of our lives in order to be ready to give an account of ourselves to God on that wonderful day, on that awful day when Jesus Christ will come back and we will be judged. We may not have to give an account of our lives this week or next year. We don't know when that's going to happen, but it's going to happen. And so I think a little practice right now might help us later. It will reveal to us our heart condition when it comes to God, our spiritual heart condition in the kingdom of God. And a good place to start is an old cliche. An inventory of our time, our treasure, and our talents. Question, how did you use your time this past year? During the past 365 days, you had 8,760 hours to burn. And there is absolute equality in that number, because each and every one of us had exactly the same amount of time to live this past year. How did you spend it? Assuming that you slept 8 hours a night I'll subtract 2,920 from that number, and that leaves 5,850 hours of awake time for the average person. How many of those nearly 6,000 hours this past year did you use serving God? How many of those hours did you use serving others? How many of those hours did you use serving yourself? How many of those hours did you simply waste because it felt good? Archbishop Fulton Sheen said this, "Every moment comes to you pregnant with a divine purpose, time being so precious that God deals it out only second by second. Once it leaves your hands and your power to do with it as you please, it plunges into eternity to remain forever what you made of it." Paul said this in Colossians 4, verse 5, "Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity." That is the NIV translation. The English Standard Version says, "Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of time." Paul said the same thing in Ephesians 4. And in the King James Version, it reads, "Redeem the time." Now, let's face it. There's no extremes here. We are not called to live on some spiritual mountaintop every minute of every day. But if you dare take a spiritual inventory, as I'm recommending that we all do, would you find that you're making the best use of the time that God gives to you? Each of us is going to give an account to God of how we use His gift of time. And you know we could all do better, don't you? We could all do better with that. But do we? Where do we begin with this? Well, let's try this. How many hours are you going to have today between noon when this service is over and when you go to bed tonight? Let's hypothetically assume that you go to sleep at 10 p.m. That means you've got 10 hours, hypothetically, between the end of this service and bedtime. That's 600 minutes. 600 minutes. How many of those minutes are you going to use for God? Or will you spend all the rest of those 600 minutes today on entertainment? Or cleaning your house? Or napping? Or shopping? Or vegging? I'm not trying to judge you here, but we all need to take a real inventory and be ready to give God an accounting of how we use the precious time that He gives to us. And I don't know about you, but it makes me squirm when I think about it, because I'm as guilty as you are of many of those things. So let's move on. How did you use your treasure this past year? And let's talk specifically about money. I know, people do not like for pastors to talk about money. Well, get over it, because Jesus talked a lot about money, didn't He? Quite a bit. He had a way of probing the conscience of each of us concerning how we got our money, how we spent our money, how we used our money, what money did to us, what money did for us. Jesus was very, very probing on all of those. Money is as much a part of our spiritual lives as praying. loving money too much is largely what was responsible for the prodigal son to leave home and go out there and waste his money. Loving money too much is what kept the young ruler from following Jesus Christ. So, as you take your spiritual inventory, the obvious caution is don't love money too much. But just like good old Uncle Sam, our Heavenly Father is going to hold us accountable for how we use our treasure. I'm going to ask you to allow me to probe just a little bit. Did you tithe to God this past year? Or did you give Him more than 10% this past year? Or is it possible that anyone in here gave Him nothing this past year? Did you give to Him only out of obedience? Or did you give to Him out of love for Him? Did you make a plan or a commitment as you began this past year as to how much you wanted to give into God's kingdom, but then you forgot about it? And you let that plan go? I heard a story about a very wealthy man who very faithfully put $1 into the offering plate every week. One Sunday, however, he put in a $100 bill into the plate by mistake. Now, I'm going to interrupt the story to tell you that that very thing happened here one Sunday morning. Do you remember the lovely lady who came, at the caretaker with Elizabeth, Lois Calzone? Well, she didn't want to be wanting, so when the offering plate was passed, we used to pass the offering plate. When it was passed, she used to put $1 in that offering plate. I kind of watched to see what she would do because she's not used to being in the church. But one Sunday morning, she put in a $100 bill by mistake. And she realized it when she got home. She says, "Oh my goodness." I'm going to continue the story. This man put in a $100 bill by mistake. And so after the service, he found the church treasurer and he wanted to exchange that $100 bill for a $1 bill. And the treasurer said, "Sir, you may put anything you want into the plate, but you can't take anything out." And that led to a heated debate. And so the wealthy man finally lost the debate and he said, "Oh, well, keep it. I guess I'll get credit for it in heaven." And the treasurer said, "You will get credit for $1 because that's what you meant to put in." God judges the giving heart that is behind the giving hand. And one day, He's going to hold you and me accountable for how we responded to His directions on how to use His money. So we have some work to do, spiritual inventory of our time and our treasure, and of course our talents. Did you bury your talents this past year? Did you hide them? Did you use them? What talents, you say? Well, if you're not asking, just bear with me as I go through this. This is 1 Corinthians 12:7. "Now to each one, how many? To each one of us, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit is given for the common good." In other words, God has implanted in you, in me, in us, at least one seed that is your spiritual gift. And you've heard this before. Paul actually listed some of the spiritual gifts, such as wisdom, knowledge, faith, healing, prophecy, and more. And many of you have received from him more than one spiritual gift. I've seen it happen. And for the sake of this conversation, I'm going to call them talents. God has also given you ability to serve. And he intends for you to water those seeds and nurture those seeds and use them during the time that he has given you to live here among your fellow man. And furthermore, God has made it clear that he wants you to use them for the common good. That means that your gifts, your talents, should be used to bless this entire fellowship and lots of others. My dear wife Elizabeth had a gift of serving. As I watched her use that gift through her life, I was always amazed. I have often joked, it's a joke, that I have the gift of being served. And some of you wives are probably saying, well, my husband has that gift too. I suspect that may be true. And you know, I think that many of us have spiritual gifts from God that the devil simply does not want us to even realize we have. It does not want us to admit it, and it doesn't want us to use them. If everyone were to bury their spiritual gifts, the church would die. And the devil would laugh. This may come as a surprise to some people, but there are some things that are not spiritual gifts. For instance, coming to church on Sunday and sitting and listening to the music and the sermon is not a spiritual gift. But some people act like it is. And they think they're giving their spiritual gifts back to God just by punching the clock and showing up. No, that's not the way it works. All of God's spiritual gifts to you are proactive, and it calls for you and me to do something. To do something. So take an inventory, brothers and sisters, and remember that God will hold you accountable for how you use the gifts that he has imparted to you. Do you know what spiritual gift or gifts God has given to you? Can you imagine, if you don't know, can you imagine how awkward it's going to be when you stand before God on the day of judgment and he asks you, what did you do with your spiritual gifts? And you say, what gifts, Lord? What are you talking about? I don't know what my spiritual gifts are. Sadly, there are people who don't. Hopefully, that will never happen to you or anyone else in this room, but I urge you to discover what your spiritual gift or gifts are from God. How? Pray to him. Talk to him about it. Pray to him and ask him to reveal to you what spiritual gift he's given to you for his kingdom. And if you don't feel like he gives you an answer, then keep on praying, because eventually he will. And even better than telling you, he will show you. He will give you opportunities to use that gift. And you'll say, oh, that. A lot of people don't even realize that God gave them a gift to use. It comes naturally for them to serve, for instance. And they don't realize that it's a gift from God. Deep inside, when God reveals to you your spiritual gift, you will know it. You will know it. It's like when you fall in love with somebody and you say, I just knew. I just knew this was the person. Had that conversation yesterday with one of my granddaughters. She has a boyfriend. her older sisters have, one of her sisters has a fiance, and this youngest one, it was very interesting. She caught Lois Calzone and me off in the corner, and she said, "How do you know when love is real? How do you know when the person is the right one?" We had a very interesting discussion on that. What I hope you do not learn or recognize in yourself is the possibility that you buried any of your talents and failed to use them for the glory of God, that you even forgot they were there. But if you did, brothers and sisters, dig them up. Come on, dig them up. It's never too late. Now let me correct that. Dig them up before it's too late. You're living now. Now, today, we don't know if we'll be tomorrow. We don't even know if we're going to be here next week, do we? We have no idea. Each of us will have to give an account of ourselves to God. Okay, so you've taken a spiritual inventory of your time and your treasures and your talents. What's next? Hebrews 4:16. Let us then approach the throne of God with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. You see, there are two things that are for certain. First, when you do a spiritual inventory of your life, it is going to reveal deficiencies. There, I said it. And the second thing is your deficiencies are going to reveal God's grace. Hallelujah. Praise God for 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to purify us from all unrighteousness. Whether you and I have failed in the past or not, God promises to forgive. That's what the Bible is all about from beginning to end. And Jesus said in John 8:11, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. There's two parts to that. He forgives you, and He says, but now, shape up. There's probably better biblical words to use than shape up. I think one of them might be repent. But we too often accept His forgiveness and overlook that next step. Go and sin no more. We need to look inward and take an inventory. We need to look upward and approach the throne of God with confidence and humility. And we need to look outward and go and sin no more. There's a new year coming. What are you going to do with it? Another 12 months, God willing. Another 365 days, another 8,760 hours, another 525,000 minutes. Did you know you had that many minutes ahead of you if you live another year? What will you do with 500,000 minutes in the new year? And in about 365 days, we'll probably gather here again, God willing, and ask the same questions. What did you do with those minutes? Or what did you not do with those minutes during this past year? I hope that all of us will make a resolution to take a spiritual inventory, and I pray that it will not be an empty resolution. I hope all of us will think carefully about these things and seek to please God. No, and please God. And you know what? I believe you will, or at least some of you will. And when you do, guess what? I believe God is going to bless you in special ways. when you devote quality time to serving in the kingdom of God, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, you know that your labor is not in vain. When you use your gifts and your talents in the kingdom of God, it says in Hebrews 11, he rewards those who earnestly seek him. And when you use your treasure to advance the kingdom of God here on earth, he says in Luke 6, give, and it will be given to you, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. So, our call today is a basic reminder, brothers and sisters, to give the best of your time and your talents and your treasure to God. Remembering this, you cannot outgive God. You just cannot outgive God. Amen. Let's pray. Father, this is a soul-searching time. Will we respond, or will we move on? I pray, Lord, that you will convict each of us to do a spiritual inventory that will please you, give you thanks for the things you have given to us, and use all of that to your glory. May it be the best year we've ever lived in the kingdom of God here on earth. And may we look forward to giving an account of ourselves as we stand before you. Hallelujah. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.